Revelation 19:11, and it says, "Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head he wore many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has the name on his robe and on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So we come to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, God, and we just ask that you have your way in the remainder of this service. Speak through Tim as he speaks to us. Open our hearts, ears, and minds to receive all that you have for us this day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, Tim, if you could come up here, and while he does, if you could just give him some love as he makes his way.
Good morning. How's everybody today? Wow. You know, last time I was here, you didn't have this. So I'm trying to figure out where I am, because things have changed here, and I'm excited about the opportunity to be here with you guys. I'd like to just open up in a quick word of prayer, and just so we could go forward from there. Holy Spirit, Lord, we thank you. We exalt your name. We praise you. Father, teach us. Father, speak to us. Father, have your way in our lives. May we be sensitive to hear your spirit, sensitive to hear your calling, sensitive to hear your voice. What do you have for us today? What is it that you're speaking to us? Father, I pray that you use me to speak your words and not mine. Use me to be your vessel. Father, we just pray for this time that you would help us to understand your love and all that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Oh, man. Do we live in a crazy world or what? It's 2020. And nobody expected where we are today, right? I mean, there's no really talking of how things have transformed so fast. But I think back, I left here in 2013, and to be perfectly honest, I think our whole ministry life has been like 2020. It's just, for us, like in the beginning, it was crazy, and it really hasn't stopped in 7 years. So I'm feeling more comfortable that you guys are a part of our lives now. Really. I want to introduce my wife to you, Chrissy Kelly, and my son, Micah. I'm going to be very cultural here because I would get in trouble in Kenya if I did not do that. And actually expect my wife to say a few words, but I won't do that because she doesn't like that. So culturally, it is very important to greet people, to announce who you are, announce who's with you, announce family members. First 15 minutes, 20 minutes, maybe greeting, getting to know you, getting to know me. And that is a part of the culture that is extremely refreshing. I go into meetings, and meetings don't start for 20 minutes until we get to know each other, until we get to know where our families have been and where what things are going on. And it's a connection that's very important to that culture. Then from there, you can get into business. They don't like the American style of walking into a room and get right to it and get out, because time's money. But there, time's not money. Time is life. And so they spend time doing life. And I think that's really refreshing. So I'd like to share with you a little bit of my family and what we're doing. So a lot of you have followed us over the years, and it's really important that you know kind of where we're at. We were struggling to get out of Kenya because of the lockdowns and the issues and all the things that were going. We were supposed to be here in June. We were, I was actually supposed to be here in April. Then I was supposed to be here in May for my son's graduation. Then I was supposed to come in June. All that got canceled. We didn't know if we were getting out of the country. We didn't know when we would go. We didn't know, you know, all those things. So the Lord finally opened up the door. We came. We spent some time with my family, who I haven't seen in 2 years. And we got to spend time with them. It was good. And then we came to Minneapolis, where my son was just graduating, but had no graduation. And we were dropping off my other son, Caden, to school. And then we found out there was a graduation. We got to be a part of that. That was a blessing. It was good for my son to finalize his 4 years of going to school. We got to meet my daughter's fiance, who, because of COVID, we didn't get to meet prior. But we got to meet him. And my daughter's going to be getting married this next May. So a lot of things. A lot of things are happening in me and my wife's life outside of ministry. But inside our family, things are changing. But today I want to share a few things with you. I have the opportunity to speak to you, and I want to just share some things from my heart, kind of where we feel things are at in our ministry, where we think things are moving, and what we feel the Lord is leading us to do. We have such a huge blessing to be sent by you guys. You are our home church. I was saved in this church. I came through the youth ministry. I've pretty much done every ministry in this church you can imagine. Everything from salty to singing on stage, which I cannot do. But I did it. And there's so many things that this church has a history in my life. And you guys supporting us through the last 7 years has been tremendous, has been huge. We can't be on the field without what you guys do for us. So from the bottom of my heart, my family's heart, thank you so much. This COVID season was difficult time in Kenya amongst the missionaries. There was a bit of a panic because we could see everything that was happening in the U.S. And we saw people being laid off and losing jobs. And so the panic was, where's our support going to go? Do we need to leave? Do we need to fly out? Do we need to get out of here? Because if our support goes and we can't afford to pay our rent, what are we going to do? All those things start going through your head. All those things happen. But for us, we decided to stay in Kenya. We felt it was the best place for us to be at the time. And we decided to move through that. And we are so grateful that the support continued. We didn't have to worry about that. Our supporters continued. The church continued. And that was one less thing we had to worry about, one less thing we had to think about, and it was a huge blessing. So through that time, you guys have been so faithful to taking care of us, and we really do appreciate it. We really do. So thank you so much. When I think of Revelation, Mike talked to me on Wednesday, and he's like, you know, I kind of hate to do this, but I kind of enjoy doing this, but can you speak on Sunday? And here's your verse. And I was like, well, I can speak. What's the verse? And he gave up Revelation, and I went, Revelation. It's 2020. Where do you go with that? I mean, I can go 1,000 places with that. And, you know, we came up to Revelation 19, and we spoke those words here. In Revelation, personally, my personal opinion has always been an issue for me. I don't necessarily like reading Revelation. I've struggled with Revelation, so I haven't spent a tremendous amount of time in Revelation. So then it was like, now I got to study again and do some of those things. One of the things that I struggle with is the prophecy of Revelation is to be interpreted. And if you've ever watched interpretations, they are all over the board. And if you know and you understand Scripture, there's so many people that can take Revelation and make a theology of it and move in so many ways to distract, to distort, to change. And that's always kind of bothered me a little bit. So I've never really gotten depth in Revelation because it's, you know, we know what it says, but do we really know what it means? Or do we really know what it's going to look like? We all can read the scripture we just read and have two different interpretations or two different visions of how it's going to look like. If you ask my son, he'll say it's like the Marvels, you know, Thanos is coming out this way and, you know, that's what he sees. But the reality is God sees something completely different. And I don't always understand that. But what I think today's thing that we really need to understand is there is things that are coming at us that we've never, ever thought could possibly happen. And it's a bit of a shaking. You know, COVID and all the things that we're seeing with race relations and even in Kenya, I mean, the whole country's, you know, African, but we have race relations and we're having issues there as well, because at the heart of man is sin. Period. At the heart of man is sin. And the problem that I'm seeing now with everything being shaken, even in the mission community, if you're not solid and grounded in your faith in Christ, guess what? Something's going to start happening. And pretty soon that foundation you're on is a little wiggly, and I am seeing it more and more today than I've ever seen it before. And I've traveled around the world. I've been in a lot of countries. Just before COVID, I was in Burkina Faso, which is all French-speaking. And I'm seeing things that I've never seen before. And I'm thinking, well, it's because I'm in a new country. I'm seeing new places. But what I'm seeing is a spiritual shakening that I've never seen before. And for some reason, Christians are surprised. Are we really that surprised that there's a shaking going on? I mean, really, when we read Revelation, there's a shaking that's going on. Should we really be surprised when Jesus talks about what is going to happen? One of the things that I think about is the apostles, okay? The disciples. The disciples were with Jesus, right? Jesus was telling them what was about to happen, and they had no clue. Even during the crucifixion, they still thought he was going to be this warrior. Really, what they were seeing was what's in Revelation. That's what they wanted. They wanted Jesus on the white horse. But he wasn't. He came in on a donkey. And it messed with them. They didn't understand that. They wanted the Roman Empire taken out. Jesus is going to be victorious. You're the God of creation. How can you not be victorious? Now we get the opportunity 2,000 years later to see, guess what? He was victorious. He was just doing it his way. We don't see that when we're in the midst of the tornado, when we're in the midst of the storm, when we see the things going on. There are so many nights me and my wife have prayed not knowing what's happening to our ministry because what things are going on. And we are like, God, what is going on? And God's like, well, I'm taking care of things. I'm good. I don't know about you, but you shouldn't really be that stressed. But God, I got to be stressed. I got to not like that stuff. Trust me, when I was watching the videos of what was happening in America, because I would go into my office and my Kenyan friends would come in and go, did you see what's going on in your country? Those people are crazy. It's frustrating. You know what that does? It boils things up. It boils a lot of things up. And if you're not grounded, you're going to get boiled and taken over. I am seeing ministers falling. I'm seeing friends lose relationships. Close friends, 20-some years of marriage, being separated. Well, they don't believe this now. They don't believe that now. How? Let me tell you, if you're going to learn what this scripture is, you need to learn it and not get blown away by the next thing that comes along. If you're a bank teller and you go into the bank and they're saying, I'm going to teach you how to spot counterfeit money. You know what they teach you? They don't show you the counterfeit money. They show you the real thing. You have to study the real thing. If you don't know the real thing, you're not going to see it. You're blind. The disciples were blind. They didn't see it. Can you imagine Paul when the cuckoo went off the third time? The revelation of what just happened? The brokenness he had? Oh my. Everything Jesus told me. I just did it. And he was the one up there charging. Oh no, I want that sword. I'm going to fight for God. And he was the first one to fall. I'm not part of him. I'm not part of those guys. We like to talk a big talk. We like to say big things. But are we really on our knees? Are we really allowing the Holy Spirit to change us? Listen, 2020 has the greatest opportunity for revival and the greatest opportunity for evangelism that we have ever had. People are scared. Kenyans are scared because they're seeing what's going on in America. And if it can go on in America, the land of dreams, they have no chance. I'm telling you, Kenyans are scared. They're scared about food. They're scared about all sorts of things. My team has the greatest opportunity right now for salvation. Amen. Not because of them, but because of what the Holy Spirit can do through them. Because I believe so much in this, we started printing. Okay, so one of the ministries we do, the ministry we do, is we print Christian materials inside the country. So traditional way is you print outside the country, pack in containers, ship it, get it to the port, get stuck, all the things that go on with shipping and transport and all those issues. It's complicated. In Africa, it's triply complicated. Okay? What we do is we ship the equipment. We train people to create jobs. We give them an opportunity to make books. When I was growing up, my father said to me, son, he said, you know what? I can teach you a lot of things. But you know what? If I teach you how to work with your hands, you'll never go hungry. My dad taught me to be a carpenter. I learned to be a carpenter. I made a good wage being a carpenter. I got really good at it. I don't think I'll ever go hungry because I know how to cut a piece of wood. Not twice, once. You know, when you cut twice, you lose a lot of money. Just saying. For those who have done that, you know. Home Depot's out there, so we're good. The reality is, he taught me how to be able to make money. So, you know, the whole saying, you know, I can give you a fish, you eat for the day. I can teach you how to fish. You're going to eat a long time. My thing with the Kenyans is, they don't have the opportunities. What happens is, a lot of them go through schools, but they're not giving, like, for instance, I have a couple really close Kenyans, and I'll go into my workshop and I'll build something. They're just like, how did you do that? And I'm like, well, it just comes, that's what we do. Wow. They're not taught those things. They're not growing up with their dads teaching them how to use their hands or doing this or doing that. They have very little. You know, even changing oil on a car, they're like, you can do that? I'm like, yeah. You know, there's a fundy down the road that does that. And I'm like, yeah, but I can do it. They're amazed that I know so much. And what I've realized that, you know, now I'm over the 50 mark, I realize how much I don't know, especially with traveling. I have a worldview that's a little bit bigger than probably most of yours because, you know, you don't travel as much as I do. So when I go into other countries, my worldview starts to expand. The worldview is formed by your experiences and the people you talk to and the way you communicate and all these things forms your worldview. Politics forms your worldview. When you listen to certain things, it forms your worldview. What I'm telling you is, what is forming your worldview? Is it CNN? Is it Fox News? Is it Facebook? Kind of had to get off of that one. That was hard to watch. Gets you worked up. I'm praying that my worldview is given by God? Do I see spiritually? Can I experience what he has? I pray with my guys in the mornings. We meet. So our office during COVID was hit pretty hard because all the ministries shut down in Kenya. Well, we print for the ministries. So we're like, oh, great. Now we can't print for those guys. But my guys didn't care. They wanted to come in because they were worried about food. So they're like, we'll come in and work. We don't care. We're going to work. So I said, okay, let's work. So they come in, and because we had a lot of time, we'll meet at 8, and sometimes we'll be there for an hour talking about scripture and praying and doing different things. And I'm like, it's great. It's not paying the bills. But, you know, we get to do that, and we're talking, and I said to him the one morning, I said, guys, what's your experience? What's happening? What's happening around your neighborhoods? What's going on? Man, they started opening up. Well, my neighbor, they haven't really eaten for, you know, 2-3 days. They came to me, their kids came to me. They said, what can we do? I was like, oh, man. He goes, so one of my employees is a pastor, and he's got like 20 people in his congregation. He just planted a church. It's small. He's like, you know, our congregation, they don't have work. Everything was shut down. There's nothing they can do. They got some families. So the elders, all four of us, came together, put all our food in the middle and said, what do we do? Well, let's just split it out as much as we can. So they start doing that. And I'm like, you know, how do you answer that? What do you do? I'm like, God, what do I do? I'm like, I can help. I got a pantry. We got some food. Ugali's only $1 a bag. Ugali's kind of a mainstay that they make there. It's not that difficult. We can split that several ways. Well, also, I talked to Chrissy. I was like, we got to do something. We got to do something. So we started making these food bags. Well, she's like, I'm just going to post it on Facebook. We're doing food bags. People aren't eating. All of a sudden, it went from 20 to 40 to 60 to 80 to 100 to 150. We were close to 200 families we were feeding within 3 weeks. Then it got to be, uh-oh, this could get a little dicey. We better watch out what we're doing. Because there's a lot of food government programs. And what happens is the money goes to individuals. And those individuals then release it to either certain tribe members or certain facilities. So if they think you're giving out food, they'll associate with a government. And then they're going to show up at your doorstep and they're going to be knocking you down because you're supposed to be giving them food, so it can become kind of dangerous. As we know, all mobs can become really dangerous real quick. So I had to meet with my two guys and go, how can we do this? What can we do? And he's like, Tim, are you really serious about those pocket Bibles? I was like, yeah. What are you thinking? He goes, can we put pocket Bibles into the food bags, and then my elders will visit them at their houses, we'll give them the food, we'll give them the pocket Bible, then we'll start praying with them, and we'll just see what happens. Sounds good to me. So we started doing that. So I think the first week after we were doing the food, we were up to about 150. We gave out, I think, close to 125 Bibles, because they're just little Matthew, Mark, Luke, John Bibles. Why did I do that? Because one of the things we found out in Kenya is when you're doing ministry there and you have bookstores, there's nice bookstores, there's Christian bookstores, they're really nice. There's really beautiful Bibles, same Bibles you get, they're there. Problem is, you know, they're $25, $30, $40. So when you make $5 a day, you're not going to take a whole month's salary to go buy that. So the reality is you don't, even a standard book is $5-6. Would you spend a whole day's wage on one book? Not too sure most Americans would. So what happens is they don't read. So they may go to church, but they don't read the scriptures. So they're only getting the food that the preacher is preaching. Listen, I have a lot of opinions. And I can come up here and I can share those opinions. But that's not healthy for you. The Word of God is healthy. The Word of God is what you need. If you're getting the Word of God, then you're getting fed.
If you're getting my opinion about it, maybe you're not getting fed. Because just because I have an opinion doesn't mean it's really the Word of God. But when I'm reading the Scriptures to you and I'm talking about what's happening, in the Garden of Eden, Satan said to Eve, "Did God really say that? Did God really say that?" Well, she didn't open up her iPhone and went, "Let me check." Scroll through it. Oh, yeah, here's the quote. He was on Twitter. I found it. "Well, you know, he kind of said it, but he's not sure because it came from CNN, so, you know, it might be a little bit changed. But when I looked at, you know, Fox, it says it a little bit differently." The reality is, you guys know now, it's 2020. You can be manipulated all sorts of ways. And in the chapter we just read, there is a deceiver. There is a beast who wants nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. And guess what? He knows Scripture better than you and better than I. And he can change those little words to do whatever he wants, to manipulate our thoughts and what we're doing. Why? To destroy any chance we have of sharing God's word. Listen, if I stand up here in front of you, I'm accountable for the words I say. I really am. But how many people have stood up on stages across the world and have fell? I mean, we're seeing it daily, right? In social media today, you're being canceled all the time. Why? Because there's not one of us that's perfect. Not one. Scripture says not one of us is righteous. Not one. So who are we to stand up on stage and say, right? We're accountable for the words we say. We have such an awesome opportunity to love our neighbor as ourselves. We have such an awesome opportunity to share with those that are hurting and afraid and scared. Revelation is really to bring us back to Him. You know, when we look at further, this is really interesting. I didn't even get into any of this, but actually none of my notes. If you read into the Revelation, and this one I didn't know, so I came across this last night at about 12. Next to the subject of faith, there is nothing more talked about than the second coming. 1,845 references in the Bible alone speak of the second coming. 1,527 in the Old Testament, 318 in the New Testament talk about that chapter. And if you look at history, if you do the research, you do the history, there are songs written about it. There are paintings painted about it. There is history throughout the cultures, throughout the years, of this very chapter of the second coming. So my question to you is, if the Bible is talking about that so much, why? If the Bible is referring to things on a large scale, we better take attention. We better pay attention to what he's doing. Amen. When we look at the second coming and when Jesus comes back, it's to tie up the deceiver. It's to tie up the beast. And also, if you read further in that chapter, there's no war. The war is starting to happen. But when Jesus comes in, guess what he does? He's in that chapter. He is the Word of God. Amen. And when he speaks, that is the sword. Yes. Yeah. And when that sword comes out, it's over. There's no battle. You can't battle God. Amen. I'm sorry, but you can't battle. If God wants it done, it's done. We're on that side. We get to watch it. We get to sit back. We get to go, this is what he was talking about. I've been trying to tell you guys. We are the vessel that goes out into those doors, out in those streets, and we get to share that. We get to share the hope. I heard this one too, and I heard this last night as well. Prophecy isn't to create fear. Prophecy is not to create fear. The purpose of prophecy is to create faith. When you hear revelation, it's to build your faith. It's not to make you scared. I mean, when I was growing up, I was like, oh my gosh, if Jesus comes, I might not get married. I might not have this. I might not do that. I want to have life. He is the life. Amen. It's not fearful. It's joyful. Are we getting that? Are we understanding that? Sorry. If this was Kenya, now I'm all messed up. If this was Kenya, we're just getting warmed up. Anybody want a Kenya service? We got this is just the warming, you know, the warm part. James would come back up, we'd sing some more songs, and then the preaching might start after that. It can go for 3 hours, no problem. I mean, I can say a lot of words, I can try to influence you, I can try to do a lot of things, but I don't want to. I want the Holy Spirit to touch you. I want the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you need. Every one of us is completely different, but yet the God that we serve knows the hairs of your head. Some of you have more than me, but he knows the number. He knows mine when they grow out a little bit. He's passionate about you. He loves you. But he wants you filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, the disciples finally figured it out. Finally understood. One of the things that we fight in Kenya is prosperity gospel. Let me tell you, prosperity gospel is easy to sell to poor people. Because when you're poor and you got nothing, you want something. And so it's easy to sell. So these preachers sell it. And people come in because they got nothing, so they want something, and they'll give whatever they have. And it's sad to see it, but we have to fight that. And so we fight it through getting those Bibles out, getting the little scriptures out, getting people to talk about the Word of God. Because if you really understand the Word of God, you'll understand that the prosperity gospel is not part of it. Amen. It's not there. And I've had several pastors come into me, into my office, and want to argue that point. And I'll go, well, tell me one thing. How rich were the disciples? Didn't God want the disciples to be prosperous? As far as I know, all the disciples were martyred. Of course, then the pastor gets up and walks out. They don't want that. They don't want that. We don't understand what prosperity means then. Because the prosperity in the gospel is people. Is souls. When we go to heaven, the only thing we get to take with us is us. And whoever we're bringing with us. That's all that goes to heaven. Nothing else. No wealth, no all the things that we like to build up because we want to be secure in our lives and we want to be comfortable. But the reality is when you really get into scriptures, it's uncomfortable. What's happening in our society today is uncomfortable. When God starts to prune you, we all know what pruning is, right? Right? You got to prune a bush before it will fruit. If you're going to be fruit, you need to be pruned. If you're going to be pruned, it's not fun. It really isn't. But through the pruning comes the most fruit. We look at the ministry that we have right now. And last year we printed 50,000 books. And they said we could never do that number. Like they were like, if you have a POD and print-on-demand system and you could print 10,000 books, that'd be a good year. And I said, I think someday we could do 50,000. They're like, yeah, good one. And if you could do 10,000, that would be good. Last year we did 50,000. This year we were on target to do way more than that. But COVID kind of shut that down. It's because of what God has been allowed to do in us. And I'm not trying to say it boastfully because, tell you the truth, I had nothing to do with a lot of what happened. When we showed up in Kenya, we were discombobulated. We were, you know, the airport burnt down on the way. We were out of our house for 13 weeks. My mother got sick and died in 3 months. I had to go through 3 classes of language classes, and my language teacher finally told me to quit because I wasn't spending enough time. There was just so many obstacles. Somebody sent us a POD. We started that. It broke down. We had all sorts of issues. And of course, one of my employees, friend, pastor, said, well, Tim, have you prayed about that? Have I prayed about it? Good one. You think I wanted to hear that? I didn't. The reality was God was doing stuff in us that we had no idea. We were in the midst of the storm. We were in the midst of all the things that were going on, and we had no idea what God was going to do. 7 years later, we're printing 50,000 books. I mean, talk about exciting. We have produced books that would have never been produced because some of the pastors had a message that wanted to get out, but no one would give them the time of day. And we printed their books. And it's a little bit embarrassing, but one of the cultural things is when they come up and shake your hand, if they put their hand like this, it's a sign of respect. To have a 60-year-old man who's been preaching all his life, a pastor, come up to me and go, thank you, Mr. Kelly. I would have never been able to do this without this. I'm like, well, thank the Lord, because it's all him. It has nothing to do with me. That's humbling. Feeding people is humbling. It's not always comfortable, but it's humbling. God does amazing work through humble people. God does amazing work through people who are willing to give up so others can have. James, maybe you can come up. So you might hear the words that I'm saying today. You might go, oh, okay, he spoke okay. That was kind of cool. He's kind of doing some cool things. But I lived here. I was in those seats. I had a day-to-day job. I didn't travel the world before I left for Kenya. I know what it's like. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. I know you have family issues. I know there's so many things. But guess what? God knows that. God already knows that stuff. He knows what you're going through. But until you really give it to him, he can't do anything about it. He's not going to teach you. He's not going to force you. But when you give it up to him, the greatest lesson I've ever learned is when I really want something, I have to give it up. I wanted a wife when I was in college. I didn't want to go to the mission field without a wife. And I was frustrated because in my class, okay, you have to know this about Bethany. Well, just know this about the mission field, okay? In the mission field, it's 8-1. Your odds are really good. So one man for every eight women that go to the mission field. Why? Because maybe women listen to the Holy Spirit more? I don't know. But listen, it was 8-1. So even in my class, I think it was like 5-1. And I was like, the odds are good, and I couldn't find anybody, and I was frustrated. And I was like, God, how can I go to the mission field without a helpmate? I don't want to be by myself. Chapel, one day the Holy Spirit comes, breaks me down, and I'm sitting like this. And I'm like, okay, God, I get it. God, if it means I have to go to the mission field by myself, I'll do it. But I am no longer going to try to have a relationship. I am no longer going to force anything. I am no longer going to do that. It's yours. It's right here. If you desire me to have a relationship, then you have to bring it about. I will not search it. I will not seek it. It will be on you. 30 days later, Chrissy Umholtz shows up. We became the best of friends in 4 months. And God revealed, if I was willing to give up the things that I desired so much, He would honor those things. It's been 30 years this year. If you desire something that God wants you to have, give it to Him. He'll give it to you. If you desire it and it's in His will, He is going to bless you with that. But you got to be willing to give it up. And that is not just that. It's in everything we do. It's with speaking with people. It's with... if you're going to reach people, love them. Be the person that you wish somebody was to you. Say the word you wish somebody would say to you. It's not about being right in an argument. It's not. It's never about being right. You don't win people through arguments. I've never seen anybody come to the Lord through an argument. That was such a good debate. I am now a Christian. It doesn't happen. I don't know, Jerry, have you ever experienced that? I never have. When I see people come to the Lord, it's because somebody loved me. Somebody said a kind word. Somebody encouraged me to pray to God. Somebody encouraged me to get on my knees and give it to Him. That's when I saw people come to the Lord. I have seen things that I cannot explain. When the Holy Spirit starts moving, things happen. I've seen people fall over and I don't believe it, but they have. I've seen a stomach go up and down and I go, what the heck is that? It doesn't make sense in my brain. But when I read the scripture and I read about Jesus and what He did, that stuff happens. It's happening today. You can say all you want that it's not, but let me tell you, it's happening. In Minneapolis, I was there last week. And we're the place where everything went crazy. There's people getting baptized on the street there. Baptized. Because somebody said, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to share the gospel in a place where everybody's fearful. Yes, there's other people preaching other things. Yes, there's other people saying things. Yes, there's other things that are going on. But there's some people down there that are loving on people. And telling them where they're hurting. They have an answer. It's Jesus. When He fills you, you'll never be the same. When He fills you, you will never be the same. He'll take that hurt away from you. Let me tell you, justice will never come through human beings. Justice will never come through a human being. It's not going to come through the law. It's not going to come through the government. It's not going to come through any of that. It's not going to come through politicians. It's not going to come through any of that. Justice only comes from Jesus. And the righteous justice is coming. And that Bible tells me I need to prepare for it. And I need to prepare as many people as I can. What does the Holy Spirit have for you? What does He have for you this day? What does He want to do in your family and in your kids? I love my kids to death, but I need God to grab a hold of them, because only God can fill that void. I can't do it. I can encourage it. I can pray for it. I can do all the things that I think is right. But until the Holy Spirit and God touches him, God wants to touch you as well. I want to pray for you right now. And I know the whole social distancing thing, I get that. But maybe what I would do right now is, if you just feel like, you know what, you just need some prayer, I think if you just stand today and you just say, yeah, I could use a little prayer, I'd like to pray for you right now. So if there's anybody that just wants a little prayer, just wants a touch, it's a free thing. It's whatever the Lord might have for you today. I'd love to pray for you. Father, I thank you. Lord, you are so good to us. God, you are so good to us. You love us. You desire us. You want to fill us. And Father, I look in this congregation and I see people who just want to be a part of what you're doing. Father, I know there's hurts. I know there's pains. I know there's fear. I know there's so many things going out today. But Lord, you have overcome it all. You are the God of creation. When you said the word, let there be light, there was light. When you said, let him be healed, he was healed. And Father, when you say it, it will be done. So Lord, whatever is the need going on today, whatever is in their hearts today, Lord, I pray that if it lines up with your word and it is something you want to accomplish, Lord, that it will be done in their lives. Father, I pray your presence and your Holy Spirit to be upon them now. Lord, move in the only way that you can move. Father, if they need a touch of healing, Lord, heal them now in your name. In Jesus' name, would they be healed. Lord, if they need strength, Lord, fill them. If they need peace, Lord, fill them. Lord, may your Holy Spirit come upon them and be with them and strengthen them. The peace that passes all understanding only comes from the one who created everything. It does not come from anything else. Fill them with your presence, Lord. Fill them with your peace, Lord. Father, we know when we read the book of Revelation, it's victory. It's what you're going to do. It's who you are. And there's nothing that can stop the kingdom of God from coming. There's nothing that can stop the heavenly realm from fulfilling what it's called to do. Lord, we're thankful we get to be a part of that. We're thankful we get to be a part of what you're doing. God, be upon this congregation. Fill them with their love, with your compassion, with your understanding and your wisdom. Lord, I lack wisdom. The more I learn, Lord, the more I realize I do not know. So, Lord, please fill me with your wisdom, not man's wisdom. Fill these people with your wisdom, not men's wisdom. Holy Spirit wisdom. God, you are so good. You are so good. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You are way maker, miracle.